The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. Today is Mailbag Monday.
Mailbag.
That's a good one, Breach.
That was a great one.
If you have a question you would like to ask us for a future mailbag, you can do so by leaving a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. You can ask us anything. It can be about football, fantasy football, golf, parenting. Debo, you want to ask Debo a question?
Questions about the NBA, hip hop, the show Dave on Hulu. He knows a lot about that.
I need to start watching Dave again. First two episodes were good.
Yeah, they were good.
And while you're you know, doing stuff, two more things to hit up at you. I need your favor. I need you guys to hook it up. You guys are podcast listeners, are always loyal. Whenever we ask you to do something, you're great about it. So do first. Right now, youtube.com/pick6. If you do that and you go there and you hit the subscribe button, it will benefit all of us greatly. And you can watch all of our shows on YouTube if you want. And once you subscribe, if you have a smart TV, by the way, you can fire up your YouTube app and actually watch the podcast on TV, which sounds a little narcissistic to think that you would do that to like put us on your television during the day. But I found that it's actually kind of enjoyable. I do that with a bunch of fantasy golf pods. Like my Pat Mayo, Rick Gelman, who does the First Cut podcast as well. I just found that like it's kind of a nice thing to have on TV rather than just like some, you know, Sports Center rerun or something like that. Or, you know, you could watch HQ too, I guess, which I could promote.
Brinson, do you just watch it so you can stare at yourself?
Yes.
There's 100% chance that if Brinson came around, there are at least three Brinson portraits that he stares at while he does his show.
And one more favor, the People's Choice Podcast Awards. Many of us are talking about these podcast awards a lot. We are up for a nomination, and they count fan votes through the end of July. It takes less than a minute. I'm not even kidding. It's really easy. You can go to the link in the description of this podcast and click on it, and you can register on that site, and you don't have to like verify it or anything. You just register and immediately rolls you into a nomination page, and you can select People's Choice, drop down and hit the P, you know, find Pick Six. It's on there in alphabetical order, and then sports. And sports is even more important because we're probably not going to win like the number one People's Choice category. So if you really just don't want to take a full minute.
Not with that kind of confidence.
I know, right?
I mean, it's literally every podcast that's nominated. Did you hear the stats? Did you hear Debo say how many podcasts are new per day? It's like 90,000.
They're not on this list, though.
Okay. Do both.
With that attitude, Brinson, I just think you need to have a better attitude about this. Everyone, we're going to win, and we need your vote to pull it off.
If we win the, I don't know that you want us to win the podcast, the People's Choice Podcast Award. I will be the most insufferable human being on the planet for the next 9 to 12 months if we win the People's Choice. Okay.
How will that change from the past 9 to 12 months?
I will be the second most insufferable person on the planet if we win the People's Choice Podcast Award for the number one overall podcast. And, of course, you know who I'm talking about at number one, Sean Wagner. Okay, so let's get Spanky Wankman. That's right, Ryan.
Link in the description. Check it out. Do that. And then subscribe to YouTube. Two, it's really easy. It will take you less than 5 minutes. And if we get some momentum going on those, it will be positive for everybody involved. Because Deebo, really, they're talking about Cannon Deebo, and we need to save his job.
Jesus. Now, he should be the last one to go, if we're being honest about it.
Oh, he will be. maybe somebody could leave a 5-star review and ask who gets fired in order. What's the order of people being fired off this podcast?
Maybe we could even make a new hire as hinted in this first question.
Well, let's talk about it. Great job, Deebo. Good segue. New super friend, and thank you, Wilson. This is from MMart6767. A few weeks ago, I called Wilson out for being narcissistic with his football takes during draft season. I did not want to be reactionary in my apology and waited to see if his return to the Wilson I enjoyed over the last few years was consistent. I am happy to say that the king has returned. What is this nonsense? I want to apologize and thank Ryan Wilson for addressing this and giving very understandable reasons for why he was so short with people. At the height of the quarantine, I definitely was not as patient with people as I'd like to be, and I was only working 60-hour weeks at that point. But that's only working 60-hour weeks. That's a lot of hours.
I will brag.
Yeah. Can't imagine if I was working until 3 a.m. only to get up and do it the next day. You don't have to read this next part on air, but if he's ever in Houston area and wanted to grab a beer on me, say so on the pod.
I would like to go grab a beer on you if I'm in the Houston area. I was supposed to be in Houston in March. It didn't work out because of the pandemic, but hopefully if I'm there next spring, we'll make that happen.com.
There's a great brewery.
I think you get called out later because you messed up the brewery in Portland, Maine. So make sure you get
We'll talk about that in a minute. That's just because I butcher all names. St. Arnold Brewing Company in Houston is really good. They have awesome beer.
Oh, were you there? Super Bowl?
Yep.
All right. Anyway.
I don't have a Twitter, but listen every day and can have my wife DM you. Do it.
Oh, what are you doing?
Shoot him in those DMs, Wilson. Yeah, shoot him a DM. So glad to welcome back my favorite podcaster. Short question is, are you looking for a new super friend? Long shot here. Get it, Sean? Nice. Mike Golic Sr. just got canned from 20 years of ESPN Radio and would fit in great with y'all's don't take yourself too seriously vibe. Would be awesome to have him be a regular.
Let me say this quickly. I'll play, Brinson, you play Mike Golic Jr. and I'll be your agent. Hey Mike, we got a call from,
it's senior, not junior.
Senior, yeah, I'll be your agent. Mike, we got a call from, the Pick Six podcast. They want you to be a part of it.
What the hell are you talking about, man?
No, it's a podcast. They do these things. It's not on air. You won't like be on television anymore. Not even radio.
You'll be on YouTube.
You're on YouTube.
This is Mike Golic Sr., right?
Yeah, right.
You know, I played professional football and then spent 20 years at the number one ESPN radio show. I'm worth tens of millions of dollars.
It gets better, though. This guy named Will Brinson, he's really big in Raleigh, North Carolina.
What?
He's a host. You wouldn't be a host. You would be a super friend.
What? What the hell is a super friend?
I know, right? Can you imagine?
I mean, am I the only super friend? What's going on?
No. There's this guy who's a robot and loves the Cowboys. His name's John Breach. And this other guy, Wilson, who's incredibly handsome and smart, but I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work.
I think I'm going to pass on this one. So I'd be super friend. I'd be the fourth super friend.
Replacing a guy who was so terrible at his job, he quit to go to law school.
Hard pass. I like Mike Golic a lot. I don't know Senior personally, but I like the Golics in general. And I think he probably got a raw deal. We don't need to comment about ESPN radio lineups or ESPN personality. So we'll just move on. But suffice to say,
Mike Golic is he's awesome. He seems like a genuinely nice guy. I don't know if he would be super pumped about doing the Big Six podcast.
No, I wasn't. I mean, we were joking. We were having a goof. But my Mike Golic reaction is definitely how he would react. Hey, Mike, we want you to replace a 27-year-old kid who left to go to law school and be the fourth man on this podcast every day. And you'll be on youtube.com/pick6.
I do want to say, as the producer here, I won't comment on whether we are or are not having super friend auditions, but I will say if we do, Pete Prisco is not a shoo-in. He has to audition.
Very nice, Devo. You know what? All right, we haven't played in this podcast yet.
But let me just say quickly to MMart6767, thank you for getting back to me. I'm glad that I'm not being a jerk anymore. I do think, and I think Breach and Brinson both pointed this out at the time, I was just exhausted. I didn't realize it, but now. Anyway, thanks. I'm glad that I'm no longer considered a jerk from MMart6767.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
And I will take you up on that beer in Houston should I get there.
So have your wife DM Ryan Wilson.
That's a prank.
Tell your wife to DM Mike Golic Sr. too. Just see, let's just go all out here.
What happened?
Hey, Mike, are you interested in joining the Pick Six podcast?
Who are you? What? I'm a listener's wife.
Packers Delusion from Chris D. Holm, 12, on Apple Podcast. Packers currently have the 8th best odds to win the NFC in 2020. I think it's actually they have the 8th best Super Bowl odds, but the 5th best odds to win the NFC, just as a point of clarification for Chris, but his point remains. This is a team that lost just one impactful starter, Brian Bulaga, and they have many young stars, Jaire Alexander, Kenny Clark, David Bakhtiari, Aaron Jones, and Devontae Adams. He just put the last name, so I was trying to come up with them. Not to mention year two of Rodgers in the system, Matt Ryan 2016 vibes. Okay, let's settle down. Why do betting markets, national media hate the Packers so much right now?
We should call Spanky for his thoughts on this.
Just ask Matt LaFleur.
All right, Matt.
Well, guys, as the one person on this podcast who predicted that the Packers would make it to the NFC Championship game last year, yes, I get paid every time I mention that. I don't have an issue with the odds. I think I do somewhat agree with the opinion that maybe the Packers got a little bit lucky last year. But if you go down the odds, and we'll do the NFC odds since he specifically mentioned the NFC odds. If you go down those, you look at who's number one. The 49ers number one. Well, you know what? The 49ers stomped the Packers twice last year. Those games weren't close at all. I do not think the Packers have done anything to close the gap with the 49ers. I think they are a way worse team than the 49ers. You have the Saints. If those teams were playing tomorrow on a neutral field, I would bet everything on the Saints. Of course, I've been wrong before. I'm surprised Brenton doesn't have the audio of me saying that there's no way the Saints can beat the Seahawks. The Buccaneers. I think the Packers have struggled against the Buccaneers. And then I think here's where you get the interesting numbers. The two teams ahead of the Packers are the Cowboys and Eagles. And that one just comes down to who do you think is going to win the NFC East? You're basically betting on the team to win the NFC East because then that team is going to get a home playoff game. So I understand why they do. And then they're also tied with the Seahawks, which may be a little dicey, but I like where they are. I think it makes sense. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah. I think when you look at the Packers, and you can go if you want, Ryan, I can
go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say that the Packers 13-3 last year is great. Their expected win loss was 9.7, their expected win total, based on their point differential, and that's the Pythagorean theorem. That is a major, major, major red flag for a team that could regress. Now, having said that, they could still regress and win 10 games. I don't know. The Matt Ryan 2016, I sort of shrugged that off as I was reading the question, so I apologize for being snarky and dismissing it, but I'm not buying into that Matt LaFleur is Kyle Shanahan. And that was the theme with Matt Ryan in 2016 and winning.
Anyone buying into that?
I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be in the MVP conversation at all. Matt Ryan won the MVP in 2016.
Yeah, and Matt Ryan was in his prime, and Aaron Rodgers is going to be 37, I think, right? If he hadn't already turned that age. They got to play. Did they play the NFC East last year? They did. That is rather beneficial for them. And they went 3-1, the Packers did, against that crappy division. So they're not going to play them this year. They have a much more difficult schedule, I think, this season. I wouldn't sleep on the Bulaga loss, especially with as much as they want to run the football. And I don't know that I like the decision to go get Jordan Love, which you covered ad nauseum on here, and not add any weapons for Aaron Rodgers. I think he's facing a lack of weaponry surrounding him. Now, Jay Sternberger might break out, and I don't disagree with the defensive players. Mike Pettine has done a good job with the defense. I just think it's hard to see the Packers being in the elite tier of NFC teams.
Huh. I feel like 11 wins feels about right.
I mean, they win 11 games and they're in the elite tier. I think it's more like 9.
I agree. I think most of this is going to be because the defense improves incrementally, but also mostly because Aaron Rodgers plays angry. Mm.
Good question from Debo here. How much does that negative press surrounding Debo asking mailbag questions too, surrounding Jordan Love affect their betting markets? Hmm. They have had a bad off season.
If you hear all these things bad about the Packers and how they haven't done anything good and your last memory of them on the field is getting blasted by the 49ers, that's going to affect, you know, if there's not money coming in, they're going to slide the Packers down amongst those NFC teams.
I agree with you completely. And one other thing that sort of stands out to me with the Packers and is a concern, especially when you talk about being an NFC elite team. We talked about this last year. They struggled against the 49ers, Chargers, and Seahawks in terms of producing offense. They eventually got to 28 points against the Seahawks, but they didn't look very good in the playoffs. All three of those teams run some variation of Pete Carroll's cover three defense, either via Robert Saleh or former Gus Bradley for the Chargers. And I just wonder if some teams might pick up on how that could affect Matt LaFleur's offense, and if we see them struggle a little bit. If they don't run the ball effectively, I don't think they'll be a very outstanding offensive team. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong.
They should be able to run the ball effectively, though. They got Aaron Jones, and they got A.J. Dillon.
And Jamal Williams.
Okay.
Are we just all down on the Packers?
No, I said
11 wins. All right.
They don't have 11 wins. What's the over-under? Vegas.
Debo will tell us in a second. He has it up.
Well, Ryan, you say you're
another high. Ryan Wilson question.
High on the Packers?
9.
But
9. Wow.
You take the over 9? I wouldn't.
Really?
I mean, that's not a lot of room for error. 9 wins is just a lot for any team.
9-7 is what their Pythagorean what is it? Say it.
Pythagorean theorem. 9.7. So 9.7, 6.3.
What are we going to say, Breach?
Do you think that the Packers have a realistic chance of getting in the Super Bowl? Because this guy seems upset that they're not in the Super Bowl conversation.
I don't think they're a Super Bowl team. They literally did nothing.
So we have been all bit with the Packers delusion.
I'm going all in, not on analytics. I'm going all in on Aaron Rodgers, like him playing angry. That's all I'm going on.
The other thing, too, is if you count the playoffs last year, so the Packers had 18 games total, 9-1 in one-score games.
Ooh.
9-1 in one score games and a negative and a point differential that reeks of coming back to earth. I think those are probably the factors. It was like they were like just a 13-3 team that went to the NFC Championship game, like not to take away their credit, but it's like it didn't feel like they had the pop of the record and what
okay,
they ended
up. Okay, so over under's 9. It sounds like Brenton's not crazy about the over. I'm guessing Breach isn't either. On Friday's podcast, you two jabronis were talking about perhaps the Lions going 8-8. What are the odds that the Lions finish better than the Packers?
You tell me what the odds are, and I'll tell you if I'd bet them. Because you know what? The Lions could have beaten the Packers twice last year. They lost by a field goal, and they lost another game by a point. The Packers
screwed by the refs.
And one of the games, the Packers didn't lead the Lions during a single second in either of those games. Both field goals.
What are the odds? The
Lions... The Packers are the favorite to win the division at plus 140. Vikings, I mean, they're not being like crapped on here. I mean, they're still, the Vikings are plus 150. Bears 4.5-1. Lions 8.5-1. Like, I would rather bet on the Lions at 8.5-1 than the Packers at plus 140.
To win the division?
Yeah.
Breach?
The Packers or the Lions lost 8 one-score games. They had to play half the season without Matthew Stafford.
One in one-score games is really.
And the Lions were the flip of that because they lost 8 one-score games.
Two of them were to the Packers.
And two of them were to the Packers. So, I mean, if you flip those, all of a sudden you have a completely, you know, the Packers are 11-5, the Lions are 5-whatever-1, 5-10-1.
The Lions were a 5-win team, baby.
I think the Lions are going to be better than most people expect. I think the Packers are going to be worse.
Two words would change my opinion of the Lions. You know what those two words are?
Fire Patricia.
Jim Caldwell.
Moving along. Super friends. Do you think DeAndre Hopkins will digress from last year? Because he is part of arguably the best receiving core in the NFL. Jonathan, walking creeper. He's back. We answered a DeAndre Hopkins question earlier this offseason. I don't know why there's so much DeAndre Hopkins chatter. I guess because he's with the new team. He is definitely not with the best receiving core in the NFL. And it's, I don't think it's even close.
Yeah, I think Tampa Bay might have an argument.
Like, who's the Chris Godwin here? Like Larry Fitzgerald? I don't think so.
Christian Kirk.
What do you hate on Christian Kirk for, Brinson?
I love Christian Kirk. Do you
apparently think, not a lot.
I mean, are you suggesting that Christian Kirk is going to have a Chris Godwin-like season?
I'm suggesting you're breaking Jonathan's heart by saying that the Cardinals don't have the best receiving core in the NFL.
I'm not trying to be a b-hole here, but Chris Godwin had 86 catches for 1,333 yards and 9 touchdowns last year. Chris Godwin in his career Christian Kirk in his career has 111 catches for 1,299 yards and 6 touchdowns. So he's
not really making the case that they're the same, I don't think.
I think DeAndre Hopkins is going to have a huge year.
I mean, he had a huge year with Brock Osweiler and Tom Savage throwing the ball.
I think he'll have a very good year. I don't think he'll have like.
Do you think he tops his numbers from last year? 104 receptions, 1,165 yards, 7 touchdowns.
I'll say yes, but I think those are all very good over-unders. I think his target. I think his targets will be lower, but his numbers will be similar.
Mm. Yeah, I mean those numbers were pretty crazy last year. He could actually go under all those numbers and still have a really productive year.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll answer a couple more questions.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's the butterfly effect for real.
Okay. This is a tough one. It's a great question. This is the kind of questions that we appreciate from our listeners. Probably should have prepared more for this, but great question for the mailbag. Lou from Charlotte. Lou. Love Lou from Charlotte. I think Lou and I have hung out and had a beer, but I'm not sure.
What? Did you feed him the question, Brinson? Is that what's going on here? You're feeding
I could be wrong. Maybe we just like talked on Twitter about having a beer in Charlotte. That's probably more like it. Assemble your best NFL coaching staff, starting QB and defensive captain, only using players who have not won a Super Bowl ring.
Players and coaches, I would imagine, because I didn't use a Super Bowl coach. Right.
Yeah, a coach who has not won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. All right. Where do you?
It would have been like this would have been easy 6 months ago.
Actually, I think it's pretty easy now. Should we go around the horn? We're going to start with coaches.
Go around the horn. I get the first pick of coach.
So hold on before you start. So I did coach. I did offensive and defensive coordinator, then quarterback, and then defensive star.
So okay.
So what do I do? Just the head coach, and you guys do start with someone else on coordinators? What's going on?
No, you do coach. I'll do coach. Prince
like
do.
My whole coaching staff?
No. Yeah. After you pick your coach, can I use a same coach or do I have to do a different?
My list is already written down. So if you've written it down.
Well, I don't think we should be
definitely prepared all right. This question.
The head coach of my team, the Breach Street Boys, who will be winning a Super Bowl, is none other than Miami of Ohio graduate Sean McVay.
That's a pretty good choice.
Boom.
That's not bad.
He's also my offensive coordinator.
I went with Kyle Shanahan, who is also my offensive coordinator.
Boo.
Yeah, that Shanahan and McVay were the first two obvious choices. But since, in the interest of variation, now, can I say Bruce Arians? Because he has a Super Bowl ring, but not as a head coach.
Not as a head coach. He can't be your offensive coordinator, though, because he wanted his offense.
That's right. If it was possible, I would probably just pair Shanahan and McVay. I mean, they worked together before.
Bruce Arians, I don't want to speak for you. You could do Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich as your OC.
I think I'd rather have Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan. No offense to Byron Leftwich.
They're already been drafted.
Oh, okay. Bill Belichick.
He may have won a Super Bowl.
I think those are the.
Hey, it's fine. I don't think that's
Frank Wright would be up there for me. I understand people are not as high on him as I am, but I would.
Okay. Right? I do like Frank Wright. I don't know why. I think
what about Zach Taylor? Where would he be on your list?
30 or 31.
That's on Wednesday.
Hate you.
Yeah, those. Look, if he wins the Super Bowl with the Bengals, he would move slide all the way up to 25.
He wouldn't be eligible for this list, though. It's only Super Bowl, non-Super Bowl winning coaches, Brenton.
The only other answer I think that would work for me is – I think that's it, actually.
All right, do you want to start with offensive and defensive coordinators since we've already named our OCs?
Well, I would – you just kept the same guy as OC. Like, I would go Bruce Arians and one of Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay.
All right, you're going to do that. So who's your defensive coordinator?
Mike Zimmer.
Ooh, I took Todd Bowles.
Oh, I was going to take Mike Zimmer also. I'm going to have a controversial answer here. I'm going to go with Mike Vrabel. He has a Super Bowl ring as a player, but not as a coach, and he's on my coaching staff, so I think he qualifies.
As your DC?
As my DC.
Okay. All right, Brees, you want to start quarterbacks? What's that, Brenton?
No, I was saying I like the Todd Bowles call. That's a good one. Yeah, Breach, you start with quarterbacks.
My quarterback.
By the way, before you say it, I think there are three quarterbacks that should be pretty easy selections. I
feel bad going first because it's too easy. But my Sean McVay offense is going to have Lamar Jackson at quarterback, and I'm winning. You guys could just forfeit because I'm winning the Super Bowl.
So here's the question, because Lamar was my number one. Does Kyle Shanahan want Deshaun, who's obviously in the mix, or does he want Dak?
I think he
wants Dak too to run that offense, right?
Dak running a Kyle Shanahan offense.
Or is Brenton using reverse psychology so that you pick Dak so that he can take Deshaun Watson for his team? I didn't go for it, Wilson.
I'll say this. I think I would rather have Deshaun Watson in a Bruce Arians system, but I would rather have Dak in a Kyle Shanahan system. Dak in a Kyle Shanahan system would destroy the league.
Yeah, I think I'm going with Dak. You can't lose with any of these three.
I think those are the only three answers, right? Am I missing?
We're just taking,
I mean, Carson Wentz, I guess you could take because he doesn't have a Super Bowl ring.
All right.
Wallace took it in his hands and said, up and away.
Would anyone take Matt Ryan?
The sound drops. It messes it up. Just FYI.
Debo gets the old one finger salute.
Yeah.
Would anyone take Debo Matt Ryan?
Oh.
No. Not over those three, I don't think. He's 30.
I was going to say, Brinson, where's Philip Rivers, man? Show some respect.
I'm not trying to get dunked on by suggesting Philip Rivers. Or
all right.
Check real quick on coaching. Zimmer was a defensive assistant with the Cowboys when they won in the 90s. Is he allowed to be?
No, he's not. Brinson cheated.
Oh, up high, down hard.
He was the coordinator. He was, I think, defensive backs coach and – couple other assistants.
I think that's a good point. He can't be your DC if he's also. I don't know that we could use coaches. I think it's weird to take a head coach. Like, would Mike Zimmer take this job offer? He wouldn't leave the Vikings for this job.
It's much like Mike Golic being asked to be on the Pick Six.
It's a little bit like Mike Golic being asked to be on this podcast.
All right, Brenton, you're up with the defensive captain. Who do you want to go with?
So I can go with.
Hasn't been a Super Bowl.
Is it easy? Oh, it's Aaron Donald.
But I mean, yeah, even if you went with an edge rusher,
I'm going to take Aaron Donald because he's the best player in football, independent of positions. So
Aaron Donald's my number one. My math for number two and number three got a little interesting. I'm a homer it up, but I don't know if I want a safety or an edge rusher.
TJ or Minka?
Yeah.
I mean, I have a couple guys I would go with before TJ Watt, personally. But he's, I mean,
yeah,
he's,
no, that's right. You could, I mean, yeah, you could take Danielle Hunter. I wouldn't take Von Miller at this point. You could
I'd probably go Joey Bosa or Myles Garrett.
Yeah, Myles Garrett was in the mix, but I felt like after he signed that crazy deal, I didn't want to pay him that money that no one knows where it's coming from.
But also, like, are you doing it for this year? You know, I sort of thought it was like just a 1 year exercise because
1 year exercise, I'm taking Chandler Jones then if Aaron Donald's off the board.
That's fair. Well, and because like if it's a multi-year, if you're building a franchise for the future, then Shanahan, McVay, and those quarterbacks we talked about are the only answers for those. Yeah, like you don't want to go get Bruce Arians for the long.
I'll go with T.J. Watt just for homerism reasons. Okay. And Breach, you're taking Montez Perfect. Okay, next question.
Well, I would, except that he's not on a team right now, so I don't think he's eligible. Is he on a team right now?
He hasn't won a Super Bowl. I do know that.
That's because he almost won 5 with the Bengals, but then they didn't try in their playoff games, which you may not know. But yeah, Burfict's a free agent, Wilson, so he does not qualify. I am going to take, you know, you guys went defensive line pass rushers. I'm going with Stephon Gilmore. I want my shutdown corner. That's it. I'm taking Gilmore to go with my McVay.
Who's your defensive coordinator?
He doesn't have
Mike Vrabel.
Oh, you do. Right. Brinson doesn't have one.
Yeah, Brinson. His coordinator got fired. His coordinator wouldn't take the job.
Wait, so wait. Mike Zimmer won a ring with the Cowboys? And I guess
as a coach. So he's disqualified as winning as a coach.
Like, you can have Mike Zimmer be your defensive tackle if you want, Brinson.
Or I would say your head coach, but he can't be an assistant because he won a Super Bowl as an assistant.
Questionable at best. Also, Gilmore won a Super Bowl ring. Dumb.
I was going to see
the ball was taken in his hands and said, up and away.
Devo got that one. I didn't even catch it.
Funny, we didn't even double check.
Did Devo point it out to you, Brinson?
Yeah, most of the stuff that I realized that, like, I don't want to give away. I don't want to make me sound like dumber, but like a lot of the stuff I realized mid-podcast is being spooned.
Oh, man. After you guys made fun of me the whole divisional rankings on Friday, I thought all weekend about how I could make you look silly.
Breach, just because I feel bad, I will point out Ryan did bring up Von Miller, who won Super Bowl MVP, so he would not have been.
Hey, I didn't take him.
Ho-ho! Up high! Down hard!
He's a murdering kids.
Devo gets a new Twitter handle. He's just coming out throwing punches.
Yeah, like going Gilmore or Von Miller would be like if you decided to pick
Tyron Matthew.
He's won a Super Bowl, Breach. You should know that.
Yeah. Yeah, you could have made a case that last year
Tyron Matthew
was the defensive player of the year. And I don't know that
Tyron Matthew
would have won the Super Bowl MVP, but
Tyron Matthew
had a really good game.
You should point out to people listening what that is, because they may not know.
Well, presumably they realize that is John Breach butchering Tyron Matthew's last name by calling him Tyron Matthew. And then, I mean, in a previous podcast, Breach said that, and we just stopped, and we're like, whoa, I'm sorry, what? Okay, let's move on.
Wait, Brinson, Wilson, who'd you end up picking? Tyron Matthew.
TJ. I didn't take Tyron Matthew. I took TJ Watt. The thing is, we're going to play Tyron Matthew so often, we're going to forget how to say Tyron Matthew.
Well, no, my fear is that people listening on the podcast are going to think that's me saying it right now. Like Brinson going, oh, who did you actually pick? Then you play the audio. And then they think it's live instead of the fact that it is not live at all.
He cannot.
I'm going to take Chandler Jones. I'm going to spite Wilson and take his backup pick.
I highly doubt that they think you said
Tyron Matthew
14 times on this podcast.
All right. Chandler Jones.
You're going to be begging for the dunked on music by the time I get done with
Tyron Matthew.
Okay. Moving along. Sorry. I apologize. That is a great question. Oh, an irony since.
Guys, Chandler Jones also won a Super Bowl. I just wanted you to point it out and you didn't.
Oh,
he did. Dang.
My God. You guys are off your game.
Take Danielle Hunter. He definitely didn't win a Super Bowl.
Cam Jordan?
Yeah, I'll take Cam Jordan. Thanks, Gino.
Did you just name three guys who won Super Bowls, Breach?
No, I was.
Yes, he did.
You guys made these rules up. And I won. You're dunking on yourself. I was making you guys look silly for not pointing it out and just letting it go.
Right, so you.
That was the whole point.
You were. Are you kidding me? You're trying to claim that you were naming guys who won Super Bowls. And
I named a guy on the Patriots. Yes.
Your claim is that you were laying a trap for us.
Yes.
By naming Stephon Gilmore.
Yes.
Ryan.
No.
On a scale of 1 to 2 hour marathon, where does this rank on the breach believability rankings?
8 hours. Like, there's no way that this was planned out. The Chandler Jones thing, sure, he laid that trap, and I was so done with the question, I was ready to move on.
No, he screwed up the Gilmore thing, and then so he just started naming other guys who'd won Super Bowls so he could act like it was a big trap. It's very smart. Moving along, irony.
Irony alert. Oh, where's the irony alert?
Brinson butchers names. Love the show, especially listening to people getting dunked on. Brinson needs to dunk on himself for butchering the name of one of the best beer brewers in the country. Bissell Brothers is amazing, as are at least 24 other microbrews in the Portland, Maine area. How can you call yourself a beer connoisseur and not have spent some time in Portland? That's from Mark's Well Silverhammer via Apple Podcast. And you know what? He's not wrong.
Oh, ho, ho!
I dunked on myself. There you go. Maine Brewing Company is up there as well. I believe in Portland, Maine. It's, and as I said before, the Northeast has some of the best beers up there. You're right. I should have spent some time in Portland, Maine. Part of the problem is that my wife doesn't like the sort of the places that you go to get dank beer. Like, she's not, I'm not gonna be like, why don't we go to Portland, Maine for the weekend? She's like, no, go to hell, buddy. We'll go to the beach. You can buy your beer down there, you clown.
Huh. That's
what you say to me. But yeah, that's on me. My good friend Nathan and his wife went to a wedding last summer. That was in, I think, right outside Portland. So they went into Portland and spent a night first there and said it was just incredible. Tons of beer. I was talking with a friend at the pool the other day. He does a fly fishing trip to Vermont, and they go to the store, Ryan. And when they're up there, he said they just buy a bunch of Heady Topper and Sip of Sunshine.
You know, it's funny. Before Simple Sunshine, not Simple Sunshine. What's it called?
Sip O Sunshine.
Yeah, Sip O Sunshine. Before that came to Wegmans. It may be in your Wegmans now too. I'm not sure.
What?
But it's in our Wegmans in New York. But like 2 years ago, my buddy would drive to Vermont 3 hours away, go to the local convenience store to buy the Heady Topper and Sippo Sunshine. And they would only let you take out, I don't know, 12 beers at a time, 14 beers at a time, because it was such in high demand and they were only making so much of it.
Now I'm like on here looking at
to see if it's in your
Wegmans has a list of what beers they have. I'm sure they have. I actually, you know what? This is kind of depressing. I haven't been to Wegmans yet.
Jeez.
It's awesome, right?
Oh, my gosh. The beer sections, it's actually really good. But the chocolate cake, I can't say this enough. And I was talking to Debo about this because there's a Wegmans near you in Pennsylvania, right, Debo?
Yeah, it's a big PA thing, Northeast.
Yeah, the chocolate cake, I know I asked you. I can't remember what you said.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's legit, right?
It's very good.
Yeah, so get that, Brinson, and get a bunch of cake and eat it all and drink it all in one night and see how you feel in the morning.
But also, let's not get too far away from the point of this question, and it is that Brinson mispronounces everything. Our Polish friend, I think he was Polish, or it was a guy from Belgium, you butchered his name, and he tweeted at us to let me and Wilson know that we correctly pronounced it. This guy has an audio recording of me mispronouncing Honey Badger's name when he, in fact, is the ultimate mispronouncer of names.
That's pretty MO, though. He finds something that you've done that he's done worse than, and he highlights the fact that you did it not as bad.
He regularly butchers names, and then uses me as his cover to make it look like he never messes up.
By the way, Brinson, you finally found Preach's weak spot. This is what makes him angry. Nothing else makes him angry except accusing him of saying words wrong.
Can we get a cut of Brinson saying Bissell?
I can make that happen. I feel bad for you today, Breach. So
it's okay. I'm not.
What did I?
You called him Bissell the first time.
And the reader, his last name was Warznick, and you pronounced it Warizniak. You added like seven syllables. I didn't even think it was possible.
You guys don't even know like what goes into the back end of this when we have a guest on and like the panic level that it, like Debo and I, like Debo will drop pronunciation. Debo will find a video of the guests like doing a hit and be like, hey, like, so like Matt Mayaka. Did I mispronounce it just then?
I don't know how to say his last name.
That's right.
But like, I know Matt. Like I've hung out with him at like owners meetings and talked to him for like, but like I sort of just have panic attacks and freak out that I'm going to mispronounce somebody's last name or say somebody's first name the wrong, like I get nervous about it and I suck at pronouncing last names. And sometimes I just screw up easy words. Like, do you remember when I said, see, what did I, how did I say pronounce Seoul, South Korea? How did I say it? Seoul.
We need a cut of that one.
You hooked on phonics. That's the problem.
Literally, the only reason Brinson agreed to have us be his super friends is because our last names are easy to pronounce. That's a fun fact.
Also, fun fact, Mike Golick was going to do the show until Brinson called him Mike Gallico.
Mike Golick. Mike Golick taking some unnecessary heat here. I'm like flying through Wegman's.
Sorry I brought it up. All right, let's do this last question because you won't believe this, but I have to use the bathroom.
And I have to – I searched Wegmans for Sip of Sunshine, and the only thing that came up were asparagus tips and hummus.
Interesting.
Okay, what's the last question?
Daily.
It's specifically for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Daily Football Fix. Speaking of beer, wow. I should stop searching for beer and answer this question. Daily Football Fix from Hurricane_92, the Apple podcast. Great podcast with a great cast of characters and guests. Best episodes might be when you get off on tangents, but love the daily football content. Will, two questions. One, what are the three best Elysian beers? Whew. And two, what is your favorite Philip Rivers at NC State moment?
What's Elysian?
Elysian is a, I think they're in New, no, they're not in New York, are they?
Sounds light. Would I like it?
No, they're pretty hop heavy. Let's see.
Not an IPA.
Seattle. They're out of Seattle. That's right. So Space Dust is here in North Carolina and has been for a while. Space Dust is awesome and it will crunk you up. So highly recommend Space Dust.
Space Dust. Got that one written down. What else?
It's an IPA. Now, I'll be honest. I haven't tried a ton of Elysian stuff. So I am going to look up their beer and see if I can find. Oh, Dayglow is a session IPA, I believe. Very good. Or maybe just a regular IPA. But Dayglow is a very good IPA. Yes, yeah, just regular. It has a tiger on the bottle shooting lasers, colored rainbow lasers out of its eyeballs. And
that picture on Spanky Wegman's wall when he used to do the show.
That's, oh yeah. I think those are the only two that I've had. So I feel bad that I don't have a great way to break this down, but as I understand it, the Immortal IPA is really good, and I think the Dragon's Tooth Stout is supposed to be really good. So don't take those as gospel, but the Dayglow and the Space Dust is awesome. Highly recommend Space Dust, and it should be available pretty much everywhere because they're widely distributed. As far as Rivers at State moments go, and by the way, this shirt, do you know how old this shirt is?
2 weeks, 3 months.
1999.
Still fits.
Older than Sean.
That's actually pretty impressive that it still fits. Got this. It is older than Sean. Got this shirt from Hillsborough Street Textbooks. My first day at NC State.
Ah, Brinson walking around fully geared out, ready for school.
You can save that as a gift. See, this is sort of depressing. So, the problem with naming the best moments of anything relating to NC State athletics is that if you are talking about something after 1985, it's pretty much just the Gator Bowl. We beat the crap out of Notre Dame in the Gator Bowl and Philip Rivers' junior year.
Who was the Notre Dame quarterback? It's like a year before Brady, right?
Yeah, unfortunately. I wish we'd slaughtered Brady in that game. That would have been awesome. And it's like, but it sucks because Brady's like, oh, cool, the Gator Bowl.
right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, it's like, oh, you won the Gator Bowl? It's the 2003 Gator Bowl. It was down in Jacksonville. And, I'll tell a quick story before I have to do radio in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You got 2 minutes. I'll tell it fast. All right. So we all roll down there. And we get down there into the Altel Stadium, which was, and NC State was 9-3 at that point in time and ranked in the top 25. Tyron Willingham was the quarterback or the head coach for Notre Dame at that point in time. And we go into the Gator Bowl and there's like, we're like, oh my God, you can buy liquor in these, like you can buy liquor in this stadium. Like, let's go. And it was New Year's Eve. We all partied. Everybody had like, you know, I mean, it was junior year of college, just and we won 28-6, absolutely blitzkrieg. Notre Dame is like the biggest bowl of the 3 years that we've been in school, And afterwards, we went down to the landing and partied with all like the state players who were out there afterwards. And like T.A. McClendon had run, I think he's the only, he didn't run for, he like, had like 25 yards or something, like maybe even less than that. And he's just he'd gotten banged up. And my pal Zeke was like slapping him on the back. He's like, man, like, I had a busted shoulder. And Zeke's like, it's wailing on his back. And my grandmother and grandfather lived in Jacksonville. They're passed now, but they were living in Jacksonville. My mom was like, if you go down to that game, you have to go see your grandparents. You cannot go to Jacksonville and not go see your grandparents. So we get up on New Year's Day and very, very, very hungover.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, we got to go see Dosh and Daddy Pat. This is a problem. So it's me and AK because we were dating back at that point in time. And Zeke had ridden with us. Zeke gets in the car and he is so like still hungover and reeking of booze that we're like, I can't take this guy to see my grandparents. So we dropped him off at this gas station, like outside of Deerwood, which is the gated community they lived in. And we come back like an hour later and Zeke is sitting on the side of the curb with two empty Pizza Hut personal pan boxes. He has this pile of scratch off lotto tickets he'd been playing and he purchased two CDs at the record store. There's like no pre-cell phone. Like you don't have a cell phone. Like there's nothing to kill time like an iPhone or anything like that. Zeke's just sitting there playing lotto tickets for an hour and a half while he visits our grandparents.
And this is your favorite Philip Rivers moment.
That's right. That's how low things have gotten. Okay. I got to go do radio. You guys got work to do. Great show. Talk to you tomorrow.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.